Ezekiel chapter 18, and we'll read the entire chapter, verses 1 through 32. Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 1 through 32. God's people, these are the words of the living and true God. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "What do you mean by using this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, 'The fathers eat the sour grapes, but the children's teeth are set on edge'? As I live, declares the Lord God, you are surely not going to use this proverb in Israel anymore. Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the father, as well as the soul of the son, is mine. A soul who sins will die. But if a man is righteous and practices justice and righteousness and does not eat at the mountain shrines or lift up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel or defile his neighbor's wife or approach a woman during her menstrual period, if a man does not oppress anyone but restores to the debtor his pledge, does not commit robbery but gives his bread to the hungry and covers the naked with clothing, if he does not lend money on interest or take increase, if he keeps his hand from iniquity and executes true justice between man and man, if he walks in my statutes and my ordinances so as to deal faithfully, he is righteous and will surely live, declares the Lord God. Then he may have a violent son who sheds blood and who does any of these things to a brother, though he himself did not do any of these things. That is, he eats at the mountain shrines and defiles his neighbor's wife, oppresses the poor and needy, commits robbery, does not restore a pledge, but lifts up his eyes to the idols and commits abomination. He lends money on interest and takes increase. Will he live? He will not live. He has committed all these abominations. He will surely be put to death. His blood will be on his own head. Now behold, he has a son who has observed all his father's sins, which he committed, and observing does not do likewise. He does not eat at the mountain shrines or lift up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel or defile his neighbor's wife or oppress anyone or retain a pledge or commit robbery, but he gives his bread to the hungry and covers the naked with clothing. He keeps his hand from the poor, does not take interest or increase, but executes my ordinances and walks in my statutes, he will not die for his father's iniquity. He will surely live. As for his father, because he practiced extortion, robbed his brother, and did what was not good among his people, behold, he will die for his iniquity. And yet you say, why should the son not bear the punishment for the father's iniquity? When the son has practiced justice and righteousness and has observed all my statutes and done them, he shall surely live. The person who sins will die. The son will not bear the punishment of the father's iniquity, nor will the father bear the punishment for the son's iniquity. The righteousness of the righteous will be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked will be upon himself. But if the wicked man turns from all his sins, which he has committed, and observes all my statutes and practices justice and righteousness, he shall surely live. He shall not die. All his transgressions which he has committed will not be remembered against him. Because of his righteousness which he has practiced, he will live. Do I have any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord God, rather than that he should turn from his ways and live? But when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness, commits iniquity and does according to all the abominations that a wicked man does, will he live? All his righteous deeds which he has done will not be remembered, for his treachery which he has committed and his sin which he has committed, for them he will die. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not right. Hear now, O house of Israel, is my way not right? Is it not your ways that are not right? When a righteous man turns away from his righteousness, commits iniquity, and dies because of it, for his iniquity which he has committed, he will die. Again, when a wicked man turns away from his wickedness, which he has committed, and practices justice and righteousness, he will save his life, because he considered and turned away from all his transgressions which he had committed, he shall surely live, he shall not die. But the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is not right. Are my ways not right, O house of Israel? Is it not your ways that are not right? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, each according to his conduct, declares the Lord God. Repent and turn away from all your transgressions so that the iniquity may not become a stumbling block to you. Cast away from you all your transgressions which you have committed, and make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, declares the Lord God. Therefore repent and live. And that is God's word. Well, this chapter we come to, we're tempted to think like maybe some of the other passages in the book of Ezekiel, that the passage does not apply to us. But actually this chapter more clearly, while all the scripture which is breathed out by God is applicable to us, in the book of Ezekiel, this chapter perhaps more clearly applies to us than others that have come before, because it lays down the rule of judgment according to which God will deal with the children of men in determining their eternal state. Genesis 4 verse 7 says, if you do well, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. And we see at the beginning of the passage the corrupt proverb used by the sinful Jews that gave reason why the Lord speaks here. Yahweh verse 5 asserts that He is sovereign, He is just. All souls are mine, He says. The soul that sins will die. And that's the promise of the Lord. So it is, woe to the wicked, but to the righteous it shall be well with them. Through verse 13, you may have a good godly father, but you will be eternally judged if you are wicked. And the opposite is also promised. You may be a godly man, a good man, though you may have a wicked father. Through verse 18. But if you are a good godly man, you do righteousness and justice, you will live. Verses 19 and 20, and these things our God is righteous, because the one who sins will die, the righteous will live. How can a wicked man be righteous? Or how can one become righteous? Verse 21 and following, they must turn from all their sins. That is, they must repent. And that's a key part of the gospel, isn't it? That as we look throughout the whole of the scripture of what Ezekiel is saying, we learn what the full gospel is in clarity. Especially the apostles in the book of Acts, they commanded those who were listening to repent and believe. And it was part of that command. That is, the gospel, part of believing the gospel is repenting, is turning from your sins and turning to the Lord. And upon salvation, upon believing and being saved, you are declared righteous in the sight of God. And you, as we've learned in 1 John, you practice righteousness. There is fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. And so there is a way for the wicked to become righteous, and that is through faith and repentance. And so he says, repent of your sins, beloved. And yet a warning comes, verse 24. Be warned, Christians, especially, that if you profess faith in Christ, that is, if you say you're righteous, and you have repented, and you're living and striving after Christ, and yet turn from righteousness, and you continue in sin, in abominations, and you live wickedly, will you live? And the Lord says, no, you will die. Your profession, as we learn in other places in Scripture, your profession will be shown to be false. And Christ will say, He never knew you. And verse 26, you will die forever. And yet Israel says, verse 29, Yahweh is not just in these things. But it is not the Lord who is not right. It is Israel who is wrong here. The church Examine yourself now. If you are one who questions the fairness of God or the justice of God, whether it is right or whether He is in the right or in the wrong, then you may be in the same position as Israel who is being condemned here. And you need to look at yourself and your ways, because it may just be that your ways are not right. And if they are not right, the Lord will judge you. So repent and turn from your sin and turn to the Lord. Repent and live. He even says at the very end that He has no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies. And so because He does not take pleasure in the death of anyone, He says repent and live. And He gives you the promise of the gospel. Let's pray. Father, may it be that all here would repent and live, that they would believe in Your Son, Jesus Christ, even as we'll hear this evening in the book of Acts, that which is on trial before a watching world, the gospel of Your Son, Jesus Christ, the resurrection. And yet we know it is true. Father, may all here, even our children, repent of their sins, that they would live forevermore and not be judged, not condemned. Father, we also come this evening seeking that we would repent of our sins as Your people, that we would not fall into the wickedness and abominations that Israel did. Father, we know that we are no better than they are, or they were. And yet by Your mercy and grace, we are who we are. We stand this day before Your throne. And we ask that You would preserve us to the end of our earthly lives unto eternal life. And You would be preparing us now for that life that awaits us with You forever. You would make us righteous as You are righteous, that we would love You and keep Your commandments, that we would love You and love our neighbor as ourself, and that where we fail in these things, that we would immediately turn back to You, turning from our sin and seeking forgiveness from You, knowing that You are faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness and remove the sin from us as far as the east is from the west. Lord, if we would just repent. And we have seen throughout the book of Isaiah and Jeremiah and now Ezekiel how Your people over and over again were given the gospel. They were called to repent. And they did not turn back to You. And thus they were judged and condemned. May that not be any here. Lord, we know that You do not desire any to die. And so may we all live by believing, repenting of the gospel, or repenting of our sins, believing the gospel. Father, we pray this evening for especially those struggling in their bodies. We prayed as we prayed this morning. We pray for Karen and Dina and Sharon. Father, we ask that You would strengthen us to worship You in our souls. We know that we struggle also in our souls. We pray that You would grant us Your word this evening and encourage us in times of trouble, times of difficult circumstances. Father, we pray that as we heard this morning of the devil and Satan, we pray that when we are tempted that we would resist the devil, that he would flee from us. Father, we pray again for our children, that You would change their hearts, especially the many who have left us and gone out, but even those who are here this evening. We ask that You would bring them unto Yourself, that You would cause their blindness to depart and they would be able to see the truth, see Your Son. For that is the greatest blessing, to be able to see Jesus. shine a light in the darkness of their hearts and minds. Father, we pray for the coming weeks and months ahead that you would strengthen us for our earthly callings, that you would bless your people, that we would work diligently and remember to honor you in all things. Father, we thank you for the presence of our visitors this evening. We pray that you would be, especially with Laura and her upcoming marriage, we pray that you would bless that marriage already and prepare them for what awaits them in this great plan that you have, that you've set apart for man and woman to be married. We know it's not good for man to be alone. And Father, they, husband and wife, as all marriages here, we are to image Christ in the church. And so we pray that even now they would be, you would be preparing them for that great task and calling of proclaiming the gospel through their marriage and imaging Christ in the church, as we pray for all our marriages here that we would grow in those things. And you would protect them from the temptation that is great in our culture today to be divorced and to fight and have bad communication. We pray that you would protect our church from false teaching, and that you would cause the gospel to go forward. We pray that you would be with John this week in Kenya, in Nairobi, with his interview with the U.S. Embassy there. We ask that the interview would go well, and that the next step after that would come quickly, that he would be able to come here and be approved to come, to be joined again to his wife, Becky, and their child. Father, we pray that you would bless your people and hear our prayers and answer our prayers, because we do not come on our own standing, but we come on the standing of your very own begotten, only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.